Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
So we've been talking about Barack Obama in Moscow today. He spoke with a group of economics students at their commencement. Joining us now is Susan Eisenhower, president of the Eisenhower Group, who serves as chairwoman of the Eisenhower Institute's Leadership and Public Policy Program. She's also a granddaughter of President Dwight D. Eisenhower, granddaughter of President Dwight D. Eisenhower. Susan, thanks for joining us.
Well, good morning. How are you?
This seems to be a really heady moment. Barack Obama delivering economics lessons to economic students in Moscow sounds almost like an oxymoron, but in fact, it was a very persuasive moment. There's plenty to talk about economically these days between the U.S. and Russia.
Well, this particular school that he's addressed is a very progressive institution that, supports many of the economic objectives we've had towards Russia since the outset. And I think it was an important talk. There's been sort of a tradition for presidents to go to Moscow and speak to a group of students somewhere, so it was rather significant that this particular school was chosen.
There's no Cold War rivalry anymore, although Barack Obama did step through the history of the Cold War era in his speech. What would you call this relationship? It's not a rivalry necessarily, but there is a certain amount of competition. How would you characterize it?
Well, I think competition is an excellent word, and since the collapse of the Soviet Union, almost 20 years ago, Russia's been trying to get back up on its feet and to be, taken seriously as a world power. I don't think we could expect them to have any different attitude. They've always been a major power in Europe and then eventually internationally after World War II. And so they, they want to reestablish some kind of a position. And I think the summit, has set, a very constructive tone, actually.
In preparing for today, it reminded me of the moments in the last months of your grandfather's presidency when Nikita Khrushchev and then Vice President Richard Nixon had the famous kitchen debate. Here's an excerpt of what amounted to a kind of impromptu, let's talk to each other, let's cooperate sort of conversation here. Listen.
That's what we're telling you. Don't be afraid of ideas. We have nothing to fear. The time has passed when ideas scare us.
Well, then let's have more exchange of them. We all agree on that, right?
Agreeing with what? Of course I agree, but I want to clarify what I agree with.
And, of course, later on in that conversation, Khrushchev reportedly said that the Soviet system would bury the capitalist system eventually. What do you make of that kind of forced, chuckling, let's cooperate more tone with what we have today?
Well, it's there is a lot of attention to the 50th anniversary of not only that debate, but also Khrushchev's 2 weeks visit to the United States during the Eisenhower administration. But I have to really say, I've been traveling to Russia for 25 years, Soviet Union and then Russia, and it's really important to emphasize that this period is wholly different than the Cold War. We have no ideological differences with Russia per se. We obviously have disagreements about internal developments in that country, but certainly there's no broad ideological divide that could create an automatic confrontation. We have considerably more business contact today than we did before, and we do have, as we've seen in the last day or so, constructive dialogue on the potential for cooperation on other international issues. I think it's also important to note that President Obama is not only a youthful presidential figure, but Dmitry Medvedev, I think, is 44 years old.
Right.
Vladimir Putin's maybe 54. We have a completely new generation of leaders looking at really contemporary issues.
No, you're right. The Cold War references were all about the Cold War being over. But if you listen really carefully to Obama's speech, there is a reference in there way down to a statement that your grandfather made about the dangers of the military-industrial complex, of militaries determining world affairs. Here's Obama speaking in a reference that I think goes right back to those original lines of your grandfather.
You get to decide what comes next. You get to choose where change will take us. Because the future does not belong to those who gather armies on a field of battle or bury missiles in the ground. The future belongs to young people with an education and the imagination to create. That is the source of power in this century.
Imagination and education as an antidote to the sort of military competition of the past. I think that relates directly to what your grandfather was warning us all about.
Well, yes. I mean, actually, I think those are very stirring words. And I have to tell you, I think they'll be very resonant in Russia today, because we have a new generation that is in power there, despite the differences we've had with that country, and despite the awkward state of the relationship here for the last, about 5 years, really. The truth of the matter is, there is a group of people who are in power today who only dimly remember the Cold War and even the Soviet Union. That was 20 years ago, so that means even the president of Russia was probably just in college when the Soviet Union collapsed.
And Susan,
and Obama's correct to see this as a huge opportunity.
And even during that time, you know, the term soft power gets thrown around so much, but one of our greatest powers with the old Soviet Union was their fascination with our popular culture and our consumer culture. We used to hear when we were kids about how much Russians wanted Levi's blue jeans. Does any of that fascination still exist, or has the internet and global media opened things up so much that we don't have as much fascination for Russians anymore?
Well, I think that there is an enormous opportunity here to continue to build on cultural touchstones. If you go to downtown Moscow, for instance, you'd be hard-pressed to think of this as the Russian capital, because so much of it reminds you of being in other parts of Europe, where Gap is on one corner and Banana Republic's on another corner.
Oh, geez,
I mean,
sure,
we have enormous commercial touchstones now today. But we do have, you know, an opportunity for building much more on an agenda around the future.
Well, it's a very interesting legacy, and the potential is certainly there in the speech. And, of course, there are obstacles. We didn't really talk about those. There are obstacles as we look at this Russian government. But, Susan Eisenhower, thank you so much for being with us. Granddaughter of President Eisenhower, Russian expert, and chairwoman of the Eisenhower's Institute of Leadership and Public Policy. Thank you, Susan.
Thank you.